Oh my God, we made it. I thought we were going to be late, but here we are.
I didn't have a chance to stop and pod-dy.
Oh, you didn't potty yet?
Maybe we could pod-dy today.
You want to call this pottying?
Yeah.
You made us run in here for that?
Yeah. We can call it pottying. We're going to potty.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Smartless. Smart. Don't you think we should go on another trip?
I do.
Why don't we? We always talk about it. By the way, do you guys like doing laundry? I just did a bunch of laundry. I like, you know what? So, Scotty and I were talking about this.
Hold on. Why, I need a neck brace.
A couple things. Wait a second. Why are you looking over?
The listener's going to think that we've made a weird edit.
Because I just finished. No. I just finished a ton of laundry. And I don't usually like folding laundry, but I like folding towels. I like folding towels because it's like OCD. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So are you trying to tell us that you do laundry when you're back home in LA?
No, sir. I do it here in New York City.
I tell you what, you're a fascinating dinner date. Tell us more about the folding of the towels, man.
Do you guys know what I mean, though?
I will tell you that, you know,
blankets and towels.
Did you guys have a lot of discipline growing up as far as like having chores and learning how to do everything?
Yeah.
That like, I know how to wash windows without streaks. I mm-hmm. know how to fold laundry. Yeah. I know mm-hmm. how to load a dishwasher.
Yeah, I didn't
I know
do it
how
too
to
much.
Sweep in a way that you're not re-sweeping certain areas. Like my dad taught me how to do everything right.
Yeah, same.
Like before I could like push back and say, I don't want to learn. I have not done that with my kids. I mean, they get by. But like
But your kids are very responsible.
Yeah, no, they're incredible. I love them to death, and they do great. But I wasn't diligent about like teaching them how to do the things that you're going to need to do the rest of your life, like folding a towel, how to do it properly.
Yeah. I remember my mom teaching me how to do that.
Making a bed.
We had to because we didn't have any money. You know that whole story, and we didn't have a washer and dryer. It always broke down. So me and my mom took garbage bags of clothes and put them in the car and drove to the laundromat.
Yeah.
And I was the only kid that did that.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Out of the five kids, by the way, they're all listening. And yeah. We're going to argue about that later.
I started last night getting ahead of the snow outside of my stoop here. And so I was out every couple hours.
And you knew how to shovel.
Yeah, of course, mm-hmm. because and it did bring me back. It made me feel like I was a young Canadian.
It's the best, right? Yeah, I love it.
So good.
Jay, what about you getting behind the snow?
You know, like, so I would, that's a Coke joke. It's a Coke joke? Early or in minute eight?
I know, sorry.
JB, do you want to?
But there's something that my dad never did teach me because by the time we left the snow, I was four. So I didn't have to shovel it. So I would struggle with snow. There's probably a real, you need a parent to teach you.
Yeah. Elbow grease.
You can learn pretty quickly. You don't start
at the bottom, right? You don't dig that shovel all the way to the bottom and try to lift it up. You gotta start taking off the top, right?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how much snow you got. Yeah. But that's why also like if you go out and you get it early enough, I did it a couple times last night so that by this morning it wasn't too insane.
Seen that night? Yeah, I used to do that. What do you think my dad taught me?
Uh-oh. Wait, can I come back to this? Because I'd love to fill out a joke list of 10 to 20.
Yeah. I mean...
And then I'd like to, you know, rank them and really just give you the right stuff.
I think ultimately how to lower expectations, I guess, in people. Keep your expectations super low.
Also, yeah, how to keep your emotional knees bent, you know, always ready for disappointment.
Right. Yeah. Right. Emotionally bend from the knees, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. In a ready position.
Yes. And now look at me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're doing great. You know, Shani, for all the joking that we do about it, stuff like that, you're one of the most caring, thoughtful people I have ever had in my life. That's a true story. I was saying it to somebody the other day.
Incredible.
I was saying that Sean is the first guy, anything's going on in your life, something's happened, he's the first person to check in, send you something, help.
Thank you. Sean, you are a perfect example of nature versus nurture. So there's no even question about the nurture part because we all know the story. Your father had something to do in some other place aside from staying with you. And you have been able to become this incredible person. Yes, your mother was incredible to you as well, but you have natured yourself all the way to the incredible Sean.
Well, that's very nice.
Natured myself. That's a new verb. There's a few things in there that I really enjoyed. Your father had something else to do elsewhere.
He was late for something.
Natured yourself.
I would accept that compliment as I'm trying to learn as I get older. So thank you for that, and I will return it to both of you. I think we all come from backgrounds that challenged us to become better people.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which tees up our guest perfectly.
I guess it does. I was going to say, I mean, the warning signs were there. I mean, your dad had 5 kids and he bought a 2-seater. So it's not... It's like this guy, he built an escape pod. He was sending you guys signs.
It's so true.
A little MG convertible.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean just room for him in a bag, like an overnight bag.
By the way, he had that too.
It's so true. Anyway, I'll tell you something about our guest.
Mm-hmm.
She is really no stranger to awards.
Oh,
SAG Awards, any kind of, you know, it's insane. I mean, nominated for like 122 various awards around the world, 19 Lord. Wins. And, Jesus. You know, we're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about SAG's Critics' Choice, recently an Academy Award. I can't say what yet because you're going to know exactly who it is and I want you to guess. Emmys, everything she has and her... For pieces of work that we all really, really adore, that we and she stuff that we've all seen a million times, and we're like, oh yeah, blah, 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 the greatest stuff like breaking out in I Am Sam, Daddy Daycare, all the way to the new Predator Badlands, and then this year's Sentimental Value, for which she is nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. You guys, it's none other than Elle Fanning.
Oh my
God, you had me spinning. I didn't know where you were going.
I know. I took you on a weird route just to go into credits.
Did I take it off at the right time?
You did.
Yes.
Hello, good morning.
Oh,
we usually have a guest in there. We didn't even get to a guest.
But I just
saw. At first, you go, I Am Sam. I'm like, oh God, they're going to think it's Dakota.
No, I just wanted to throw them off the scent, Elle. I wanted them to be thrown.
Wait, Elle, I just watched Badlands. It was so good.
Oh,
yes.
Thank
I bugged Jason forever, and Jason's schedule and my schedule never got together. I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to watch it.
I hear that's incredible.
Thank you so much. I am a real listener to this, and my sister and I and our friend Chloe, we absolutely love your show and your documentary.
Oh, that's nice.
So this is a big deal. I'm like sitting here, like my heart is pounding.
Well, we're so happy for you to be here.
I know Will. We've been seeing each other around.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Congrats. How long you guys been dating?
From Will? The Puck convention.
Yeah. Wait, Puck the website or Puck a hockey thing or Puck the website thing?
No. Puck is a real, that's a for Tracy. I wanted to get that in
yes.
there.
Yeah. Tracy. Tell Tracy, because I don't know what it is either.
No, that's a real listener.
Yeah.
Puck is, what is it, Will?
It's that guy, Matt, is it, what's his name? Matt Belloni? Is
Bellany?
That his name? Bellany?
Oh, yeah.
Belloni.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, I'm going to get crushed for that.
And
he's a great, Puck,
who's also,
John Heilman, and, right? Yeah, there's a lot of great.
Am
great
I right
folks
about that?
There.
Is that the same? Is that the same crew? Is
wait,
it Matt
I still
Belloni,
don't know
is
what
that different.
It's
a
like
website.
An entertainment email thing, too, right? People get, like, in the industry, you have to sign up for it, and it's like you get little inside scoops and things.
Yes, there's a bunch of stuff in there. It's very
Jason.
Very
you must subscribe to it, Jason.
Oh, you know it, girl.
But wait a minute, for me and my sister, I still don't understand. So Puck is a thing.
It's like a newsletter. It's like a newsletter. So you sign up, they send you an email, then you sign up for things. Yeah, it's like a website.
And how are you
and then
Elle,
you have access?
It's like how does that?
Well, they did a what was it like a
Q and A panel.
Oh, together. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and he was there for his this thing on, and I was there for Sentimental Value. And Jesse Plemons was with us, and Tessa Thompson.
That's right. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I can't, I've only heard amazing things about Sentimental Value. I can't wait to see it.
Sentimental Value is so good.
I love
it so much. I don't know if I told, maybe I talked to you about it, but I think I talked to you about it and your wonderful director, Joaquin, and Joaquin Trier, and also with Stellan and Renata, how amazing that film is. It's such a beautiful film. It's such a, I mean, just the level of filmmaking in every department, from the direction to the acting to the production to all of it, is so complete. I mean, that is truly the height of great filmmaking, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, it was an unreal experience with Joachim, and it was just really something.
Joachim, I said his name
wrong. How do you pronounce his last name, too? Is it Trier or
Trier.
Trier.
Yeah.
How embarrassing. I'm sure there's going to be a headline how we've just besmirched the guy.
a lot of people say Joaquin or Joachim. Yeah.
Joachim.
If you had a Norwegian accent, they would say it different. It would be like Joachim.
Joachim.
So, yeah.
Joachim.
So
now
I say Joachim.
Great.
Joachim. Yeah.
Wait, Al, where are you right now? Are you in New York?
I am in LA. Ah. Yes, but I have been. My boyfriend lives in New York, and so he just sent me actually a photo.
Yeah, it's crazy in New York right now, isn't it? He sent you photos. It's so nuts. Yeah.
There was a tree that fell down in front of his house, this giant tree, but it looks so cozy. I mean, I'm in LA, and it's like glorious and sunny outside, so it's beautiful. So crazy how opposite it is.
Yeah, you
I know.
Jay.
I ventured out for 2 minutes. My local coffee shop's closed. Nobody went in because
there's
it's
not.
Snowy.
By the way, I just there's nothing, nothing open.
Nothing's open. My gym was open. Thank God. Obvi. Wait, pause for compliment. Nothing. Okay, moving on. wait. So Al, you're in LA. You spent a lot of your life in LA. You were born. We're gonna go early days. You were born in just outside Atlanta. I'm guessing, right? Is that
yes?
Right?
Yes. Oh, really? I was born actually during a tornado warning.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've been through a tornado warning in Atlanta. It's not fun.
Well, I guess, I wasn't really, definitely don't remember it. I was going through something else at the time.
You slept through that.
Wait, so your mom was giving birth to you while there was a tornado like happening?
I don't think it was happening, but it was very close and there was a warning. So like the hospital, like the hallways, like there was kind of the shutdown.
Yeah, what do you don't think about that?
That meant that my sister was in the room while my mom gave birth and she was asleep on a cot next to the bed. And my mom didn't find out with either of us, like if we were a boy or a girl. And so my mom gave birth and then my sister woke up and like famously, and I think it's on camera. We have like a video of it, but she says, "What is it?" And it's like, "It's a baby sister." And that,
that's sweet. Nice.
You're lucky. Started. You're lucky your parents didn't do that thing of like decide to name you like NATO or F3 after the size of the hurricane.
Tornado. I know. But I was born in Georgia. Like my family is very Southern. So even though I grew up in LA, like I moved here when I was 3, so I definitely don't remember Georgia that much, but the Southern roots like run deep and my grandmother lived with us growing up and she still lives with my mom and she would go with me on film sets and my mom would go with my sister.
Oh, wow.
When we were working at the same time.
Yeah, you were. And what I loved about reading up a little bit about your sort of early days is how and I mentioned I Am Sam up because you did play a younger version of your sister in the movie. And they, if someone like Wikipedia, of course, we have a deep research department, said said that it sort of lists your first few credits, and then it says her first role where she wasn't playing a young version of her sister.
Right, because I did it a couple times.
Yeah.
They would throw me in. Yeah, because they would, there would be flashback scenes, and then they'd be trying to find a young girl that looked like Dakota, and then I would be on set, like, with my mom. And they're like, actually, can we just use Elle real quick? And so technically, and my mom's like, sure, and they took me and I just got handed to Sean Penn and we're swinging on the swing.
Wow.
And
Jason played a young Justine Bateman many times. So I think
he put in the extensions and off I went.
Throw out the hair.
What's the age difference between you two?
She's 4 years older than me.
Okay. And it's just the two of you?
Just us. Yep. Just us.
Yeah.
And when? How old were you when you guys started? I'm getting to sort of this question about like missing childhood and all that stuff.
You're going down the dark way. Well, people love asking that.
I know you worked a lot when you were a kid, but there was a lot of normalcy there, and I was going to get to it. But you go for it, Elle.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something, you know, that's asked. I mean, the origin story, it's so funny because my sister's like, you're not telling it exactly right. And I'm like, well, I was a baby. I'm like, it's, you know, it's been told to me. So, because a lot to do with my start is really her start into everything. And so she was in, you know, Georgia. My mom and my dad, they were both athletes. My dad was a professional baseball player. My mom played tennis in college. Her dad was a quarterback in the NFL for the Eagles.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
That's
so
crazy.
Sports is in our blood. And wow. we were really supposed to, I think mom probably thought that we would be
ice
tennis
hockey?
Players or something.
Something
sporty. And it's funny, I mean, this has to do with it, but like our mom is, she tans really easily, has really dark eyes, super dark, long hair. And so this,
whoa.
It all tracks because, and our dad is he's German. His mom was German. And so we kind of came out with this like fair skin and this like white hair and blue eyes. And so when my sister, you know, she went out on the tennis court, from, you know, my mom got her out there young. She's like, you know, 4 or 5, you know.
Yeah.
And she would just get so hot. And like, we don't tan. Like, the sunburn was just insane. Yeah. And so she's like, oh my God, like my precious little, you know, fair-skinned, like, baby. Like, she's just not cut out for this sport. Like, you know, and then she put her in soccer.
Her
and it's like, we need to get
let's
her
Let's get
indoors.
Her on a dark stage.
Nice theater class.
But I appreciate, you know, I think there's the athleticism and the discipline is actually really translated into acting. Like as I've gotten older, I really see the correlation to it. Like I approach my work kind of in this athletic way.
Like a team sport?
Team sport, but also just I think the adrenaline, like hiking yourself up, like making sure you're nourished, like for the day. There's just something to it that I think there is a correlation there. And so then I know I'm trying the origin story because it's kind of crazy. But my mom wanted Dakota to, because I wasn't born yet, but to find like her passion, like, okay, what are we going to put you in? So then she was like, all right, you know, she did violin, she played the piano. And my sister was like a savant. Like she is just was always incredibly smart for her age. And she has a photographic memory. Her memory is insane, which doesn't help in arguments because she's completely always right.
And, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
It's a burden. It's a burden.
Ugh.
And so then there was this, you know, then my mom kind of would observe my sister playing around the house constantly of just all she wanted to do was like play with her baby dolls. I mean, a lot of kids do, but it was just very extreme and elaborate in the all of that. And then when I came along, she got like this real life baby to play with. She's like, we can make it even more real. You know, we would watch the TLC shows, like My Baby Story.
As a kid, we loved
that. And all we would play, and then she would give birth to me. So I would like come out of this bean bag, like underneath her. And we wouldn't perform for people, but we would do it for ourselves.
Right. Like push. And it'd just be like a bean bag.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's like, oh God, we're losing her. We're losing her. You know, she's like pounding on me. And I'm playing along or just these real scenarios. And so my mom, I mean, we're kind of jumping around, but this was kind of, I guess Dakota was like 5, so I was around. But she put her in this play camp in Georgia. And the people at the play camp, they were putting on this, I think it was called Bluefish, like this play. And she got a big part in that play and just lit up, like found, they could just see something in her from the other kids that was different. And they talked to my mom and were like, you know, maybe she could do some commercials or get an agent here, or, you know, maybe get a TV show, or just, it was, but it wasn't like go to the movies. It was just like, try this out type of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, mom had a genuine conversation like with Dakota at that age, like, is this something you'd want to do? And she's like, at any point, if this is like not fun for you, like,
we won't do it.
Go home. Well, we won't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then it eventually, she got an agent in Georgia. And then my mom and my sister, they went themselves to LA because my aunt, who was a sideline reporter for the NFL at the time.
Wow. Good Lord.
Yeah. She was living in LA. And so my mom and my sister like slept on her couch and, you know, did pilot season.
Sure.
And I think she got Ally McBeal. She played the young Ally McBeal.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and got commercials, you know, and
yeah. And so then, does Elle come
talking,
in?
But
I know, I love it. No, but
well,
I'm like
this time, yeah. I'm just like, I'm so young, but I'm watching. It's just becoming a part of my life from that age of seeing my sister. Oh, going on these auditions, and then she gets to dress up and gets to go to other places, and it's like I want to do that. It really was a copycat. Like I call myself like a nepo sister in a way because I completely just copied her because I would visit her on sets all the time. Which also, Cat in the Hat, Sean.
Cat
in the Hat.
With Dakota. Yeah. Yes. Did you come by? Did I meet you? Probably met you
I
as a child.
I was on set all the time.
Oh my gosh.
How Sean, how many times a day do you say, did I meet you? Just guess. Ballpark.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
So, but what about school for the both of you guys? Like, did you have a very normal childhood? Like, looking back now.
Kind of, right?
Yeah. Yes, we really did. I mean,
sorry, that one was for Elle, Will.
No.
Will, do you have a normal childhood?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Willie?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
No, but you did? So you went to public schools and stuff like that?
Yeah, my sister went to, she was homeschooled.
Okay.
For a long time until ninth grade in high school. Uh-huh. And so then that meant like the age-wise, I was homeschooled by my grandmother until fourth grade. Okay. And so at those two ages, we just kind of felt like we wanted, you know, I think our mom wanted us to have that experience. You know, it's very much an experience that our mom had. Like she just never had a... She is shy. She's not an, like, no one is in the business. Like, this is not how she saw her life going. And then it was like, Dakota just kind of kept getting jobs. And then we're like, she always thought, oh, we're going to move back to Georgia. And then they never did because she kept getting things and we're like, moved to LA.
Right.
And so my mom was really, you know, figuring out as she was going along as well. It's interesting because my sister, her birthday is today.
Oh, happy birthday, Dakota.
Yeah,
happy
birthday. She's 32. But it's interesting because we're like, mom was 32 when she was on set with I Am Sam, like navigating this, when Sean Penn's like method, you know, talking to Dakota and just they're having to navigate that together. It's just so interesting. Like kind of sweet to think about like our young mom dealing with that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But yeah, schools, it's, we were homeschooled, and then it was like, I was like, I don't really have any friends my own age, and I want to have that experience. And so mom's like, yeah, certainly, you know, wanted proms and the parties and the whole thing. And so we went to the same school, and it was a private school here in LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
And then I'm just projecting here, just thinking about all of my, you know.
Oh, take us away on this journey.
Yeah, so for me... but did you guys think about college?
I didn't know there were tickets left on the journey.
You guys just kind of blew right by college, kind of like I did, thinking like, I'm good. I've got my career started. I don't need it. And it's stressful, right?
I certainly did. I was not sure. I was so done with school. I was. I knew from pretty quick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to college. Dakota did. Dakota went to NYU.
Okay, go.
She's much more studious than I and has much more like the attention span. And
she's got a backup career in her back pocket.
I know. Right? We said she should be, we always tell her like she should have been a lawyer. I mean, not should have, but like, yeah.
Right. She still can be, yeah.
She still can be.
Why not? Yeah, that's why. Wait, I want to just say one sidebar about homeschool because I don't know anything about it. It just imagine.
Oh, well,
I
then not- definitely go off on it then.
Yeah, let's have your hot take.
I always imagine when somebody says they're homeschooled, like, how, like, who's checking to see if you've done your home? Like, how does it, you know, like, you just wake up, you're like, man, nah, I don't feel, you can't say I don't feel like going to class because your class is in your house. You
That's
know,
right.
like, I would cut class all the time.
Sure, you would. Know, like, you'd be late school, a lot.
Yeah,
you'd
just be I'd sleeping. Be late or whatever. I'd be late almost every day to school. But yeah, but yeah. There's you know, there's no like, anyway, we don't have to go into it.
It was like a curriculum that was a full curriculum and they would send you all of the books and then.
And then your quote teacher is your grandmother.
Yeah. Yes. And then I also had a studio teacher that was the same studio teacher with me even when I would, when I was in my regular school and would leave and go back and forth. And we had to keep up with the assignments.
Got it.
But it was also, I mean, it was interesting because I felt like I learned a lot more. Like the certain curriculum, they taught us cursive first instead of, and which is kind of reversed. When I went into school, like a lot of my, they didn't know cursive as, and they thought it was kind of weird. Like, why are you doing cursive? I'm like, oh, that's what I was taught first before. And so it was kind of like an advanced.
Right.
I know what you mean about the college thing, though, because I was, it's like, I completely advocate for everybody going to college just for the experience of it, right?
Yeah.
But I understand when people like want to pursue acting or something, because if you have a degree in act and being an act, like theater, an actor, it doesn't help you get a job. Like, either you're right for a part or you're not right for a part. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I still,
you need to have that diploma and the credentials and all that stuff before you can,
I still advocate for people going to study because
we heard that the first time. Yeah, we're really covered on that point just in case you're worried about taking fire.
And by the way, just a little plug. I have a scholarship set up at Illinois State University for theater kids. So
we're
way to get to that. I'll tell you what.
So that's a plug.
It's important.
No,
it important.
I had my thing was
let's get to Will's experience
after one semester because I was like, sure, I want to get out into the world and I want to get doing the thing I want to do.
Yeah,
that
let's
was
do
it for
this,
me.
You were saying.
Let's
do it. Let's get on to this.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was,
So Al, what was the first gig where you were actually front and center and not a stand-in for your sister, that you were up, that you're front and center and you were like, wait a minute, this is really cool and I really get it.
Yes, there was, I'm trying to remember the very first. I mean, I did... You know, I had a lot of commercials. I did the, you know, Law and Order stint. You know, I burned down a house as like a crazy, you know, demon child. And, you know, I had the rite of passage there.
What was your style of burning? Was it like lighter fluid? How did you burn down the house? Do you remember what your character did?
I don't remember.
Asking for a friend or
a bunch of old newspapers?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
Because there's a bunch of different ways to do it.
It might have just been, I don't know if they showed me doing it. It was more like, you know, fire starter. Like I was just like this girl in front of the burning building.
Didn't come out of your eyes or anything like that?
No. But Criminal Minds, they really loved me. They brought I was kidnapped twice, the same character. I was brought back
to get kidnapped again.
Yes.
The best kicking and screaming we've ever seen.
Not since Liam Neeson.
Yeah. So that was a big thing.
Sean, after being kidnapped, how quickly would they let you go, do you think? If they talked
oopsie.
Like on the ride to the hideout?
Well, you know, as Oprah says, never let them take you to the second location.
Sean asked something.
Your own.
Well, like when the fire started, like when that flame first started, like, oh, wait, this is exciting. Was it like all of those little episodic things? You're like, wait a minute, this is really, really thrilling.
Yeah, I remember there was a movie I did called Phoebe in Wonderland. And I was 9. It was with Felicity Huffman and Patricia Clarkson and Bill Pullman.
They're both great. They're all great.
And I played Phoebe. So, like, my name was in the title. And it was about a young girl who had Tourette's syndrome. And I realized it was the first time that I, you know, had to learn about something and portray something in, like, a sensitive way. I mean, yes, I was young, but I realized, there's another layer to acting, obviously, of like, I have to transform into this person and kind of it's a very specific experience that I don't know, that I have to learn about. And I talked to kids that had it. And so that was very unique. And just to be, for the first time, like, the person who was, like, number one on the call sheet. Like, I was Phoebe.
Yeah, and go deep like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really cool. Yeah. I remember watching What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and I'd never even heard of Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's my sister's favorite movie.
So good. Oh, and when Leonardo DiCaprio came on as that character, I was like, oh, my gosh, how do they cast that kid? Like, yeah, where do you find the kid, that kid? And you're like, oh, he did what? That was a part, like, that blew my mind. Yeah. As I'm sure.
Yeah, he was so good. So that happened. What was the first film when you were kind of on your own? Like, is like you really felt like you were an adult and really had agency over you? I mean, you always had agency over the roles and stuff you wanted to do. But yeah, that time when you were...
Or mostly you're just auditioning and you're trying to get the best thing, and it just so happens that, you got the part. So you can't really pick.
But what was the first thing that you, like, chose, that you picked, that you felt like, this is, all right, I want to do it. I'm an adult. This is the kind of stuff I want to do. Do you remember? Was there a certain thing?
I know. It's so funny because there's also so many different chapters that I can pinpoint of, like, of remembering, like, I felt like Somewhere was a film that I did that I auditioned for that. I was 11, but that was the first time that people started.
Was that Sophia's film?
Somewhere and Super 8. It was Sophia's film, yes, with Stephen Dorff. Yeah. And we filmed The Chateau. And Super 8, that was with J.J. Abrams. They were kind of close. I was 12 in that. But those were the first times I started getting recognized not as Dakota Fanning, because constantly I would just get recognized as Dakota.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so that was like there was like a kind of stepping stone there and like another chapter. What is coming to mind with like a role that I chose that really felt like I fought for it was The Neon Demon, this film I did with Nicholas Winding Refn, who directed Drive.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And Drive had just come out, and it was this, I mean, it was a crazy script.
That film was incredibly wild. Ambitious too. Yeah, I remember the excitement around him right after Drive too. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes, and the script was, you know, I was 17 when I filmed it, and it was, I guess, quote unquote. I mean, I was playing a 17-year-old girl, but it was kind of the horror. It was intense. Like it was. Like, again, kind of polarizing with the themes. It was kind of like The Substance in a way, like pre The Substance. It was about, you know, beauty in the modeling industry. And it was kind of extreme. But I was like, I want to do this. Like, I saw something in it. And obviously, I mean, Nick was from Drive. I mean, he was a big, you know, director that people wanted to work with. And so it was a part that a lot of people wanted. But it was something that I really, like, pushed for and wanted to go there. And I think people in the industry, I don't know, I think it went to Cannes and it, you know, got boos and then got applause, and it was like very polarizing. But I enjoyed that it was not, you know, straight down the middle. And it was my first time kind of doing something like that.
Yeah.
Where do you see the job, obviously, of being an actor is playing different people. And can I... This is going to be a weird question. but like, did you find as a kid, when you're just learning who you are and becoming who you are, did you find it confusing to be asking yourself to be all these different people at a time when you're trying to figure
really
out who you are?
That
I found that was confusing for me. You know, like we didn't become schizophrenics, but like you're really trying to be a convincing version of something that you're not at a time when you're trying to figure out who you are. So how was that for you?
That is really good. It's something I haven't completely thought about.
It out now. This is the place to get it out.
This is the moment right here. I think that...
I think it can be helpful maybe,
it's just
right?
something that I hadn't thought about. I think, I think there was... For me, acting in the experience, I just felt like it was so... enriching. Like there's nothing, like for me, it's added so much to my life and like expanded my life of getting to also know how to handle yourself like around adults and be in those social situations and go to other countries and experience. Like it was just kind of it opened my world in a way that it seemed, I was like, oh, this is normal, but it's obviously not the normal. Yeah. Yeah. And then playing characters, I mean, I'm a real big, I live in my head a lot, and I'm a big daydreamer and kind of like my imagination more than reality anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt like I found a place that I could expose all of those inner thoughts.
Yeah,
so
for an experiment.
Experiment and almost put on different types of clothes and different personalities. And I did that not so much in my real life, but I got to act that out through the characters I played when I was younger. So it wasn't confusing. It was more like cathartic, I guess,
right,
to have an outlet like that.
Can you point to any character that you feel that you adopted still to this day that's become a kind of a good part of your personality?
Jason, another great follow-up question.
You guys, I've done a lot of work on this interview.
That's a really good question.
It wasn't someone that I played when I was younger, but I was in the show The Great, where I played Catherine the Great.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, for we did it for 3 seasons.
Nicholas Holt.
Yes, he played Peter the Third, and we were a married couple. And Tony McNamara, who wrote The Favorite, wrote it. Mm-hmm. So it was very, you know, we had an asterisk that said, like, this is not historically accurate, like, before the show happened, in, like, a tongue-in-cheek way. And it was raunchy and definitely not about history.
Yeah, it was really stylized. It was
kind of in that Favorite, like, tone, the rhythm. It was very written, very, we had to be punctuation perfect, word perfect. And, you know, it was a real, you know, you had to hit the joke. Yeah, it was a real challenge. But I felt like Tony was watching me kind of come to my own as a woman.
Yeah.
I started the first season, I was 19, 20, and then we finished when I was 25.
Wow.
So 100% my personality was informing what Tony was writing throughout the seasons. Catherine was, I was absorbing her. Uh-huh. And to this day, I feel like she's the most like me, which could be better or worse. I mean, there's a lot of negative things to her as well, but she was a very messy character and complicated. And I think also people sometimes want to put you in a box of, I mean, especially me, like, oh, you laugh all the time and you're naive. And, you know, that is something, you know, I did Maleficent, I played Sleeping Beauty. So I was a Disney princess. And so to be able to do this show where I technically was playing an empress, a queen that came into the, you know, ruling and had a coup on her husband when she was super young, but she was super underestimated, but had this really calculating side to her.
You got to show all the stuff that's under.
She would use her naivete. And I feel like, I think I do that. And so she was like me.
Good. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're a good actor. And also, like, God forbid that when people are like, oh, you're laughing positive all the time. That's a bad thing.
I had a little bit of that experience, Shawnee, with Teen Wolf, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, because I feel a lot of that.
Because, like, well, I'm super hairy on the outside. I'm pretty naked and bald on the inside.
I feel a lot of that sort of like a real Teen Wolf energy.
No, but Shawnee, I was thinking that
it's a whole thing.
Seeing Shawnee, you know, you do the one-man show a couple weeks ago. Like, there's so much sort of like, you know, deepness and darkness and at times during that show. And you just do it so effortlessly. I'm like, there's the guy underneath all the warmth and the generosity that you socially, you know, put forward to people to put them at ease. There's like this incredibly deep, serious,
ferocious
under the, dark.
Fuck you.
The only part I didn't buy is that you would walk over to the river, because I know you'd take a cab or you'd take an Uber. There's no way you'd walk. That took me out.
I don't think even in like scripts, or I always like look for this, or like you can't have like incredible joy without like deep sorrow. Like it doesn't work.
Yeah, and it's also like any four of us right now talking, it's like we have tons and tons of different sides of us that people have seen and people haven't seen. And so for people to think that you don't have that,
right.
you know, is yeah. just by default a Hollywood thing. You know, it's like, right. no, you could never please. Do that because, yeah.
You get typecast for sure. I know all about it. By the way, so I didn't mention in the opener, Elle, this, your new show that's going to premiere, A24 for Apple, Margot's Got Money.
Troubles. Yes.
That title,
Money Troubles.
Yeah. Margot's got money troubles.
Margot's money troubles.
Oh,
Margot's
got
money. Oh, no, she's got money troubles.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I was taking a pause.
Was this a
documentary on Margot Robbie? Because we just had her on. She didn't mention having any issues with cash.
I don't think she has any money troubles.
Wait, Elle, was this a book?
It was a book.
I think I read that book.
Yes, not sure. And it was not sure. Yeah,
That was
Thorpe.
The one.
That was the one I read.
Huh. It had to be. Right. Yeah, the title's very specific.
So cool.
Yeah, she's a young mom and she doesn't have the cash, and so she joins OnlyFans.
Yes. I think yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so cool.
Yes, and it's cool on a lot of.
I mean, first of all, it's got an amazing cast.
Yeah.
And you and your sister produce it as well, right? Mm-hmm. You and your sister have a production company together? Is that true?
Yes, called Llewellyn Pictures.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so great. Fun.
After our late dog.
Aw.
We'll be right back. Back to the show.
I have a dumb, dumb question. Have you guys, other than like the stuff when you were kids, have you done anything as adults together in a film?
No, and it's about to happen in a month.
No way, no way.
What is it?
Yes, we have never read a line together, we visited each other on set, but we have never done that, never been on camera together other than, you know, me playing her young, but we're obviously not together. And so, yeah, we're doing The Nightingale, which is a best-selling book by Kristen Hanna, and we're playing sisters in that. It's a sister story in World War II.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That'll be huge.
I know.
That's
and we're excited and nervous.
Will knows a lot about World War II. What portion of the war are we covering and
where
what country?
Are we talking?
It's the French Resistance. So it's
Oh, sure.
Yes, sir. Who have one cigarette.
It's the best. I take a cigarette. I go and I kill some Nazis. I leave a bag with explosives next to their car.
We're still casting. We're still casting. So if you want to give us an audition, you can.
I'd love to send in the tape. Excellent. That's so great. I'm so happy that you guys are doing that. That's so cool. You must be, are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you all of the above?
We're all of the above. I think it's also stepping into the unknown a little bit. And people who have worked with both of us say that we work in a very different way, that we're extremely different on set.
Oh, cool.
Not a bad thing, but our energy is very different.
Do you guys talk every single day?
Every day. We are unbelievably close. Yeah.
Really?
We hang out. We live close to each other. We talk every day.
I love that. I love that.
But wait, we scooted right past your new show.
I know.
So tell
Margot's
us about
Margot's Got Money.
Troubles.
There's no ellipses there. It just goes right through. Yeah.
So it's you and the wonderful Michelle Pfeiffer, whom we adore.
That Will just worked with.
Will just worked
with
her.
I love Michelle. She's amazing. Yeah, she's the best. And her husband David, right?
Yes, David is he wrote the show.
Cool. I mean,
yeah, they've never worked together before.
They've never.
This is the first time.
Wow.
In this show. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
A lot of people working together who've never worked together. So it's you and Michelle and
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Right.
Plays
the
my
great
dad.
Nick Offerman.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Great Nick Offerman, whom
Greg Kinnear. Yes.
Greg Kinnear.
The great Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear. We just saw him the other
day. You know, an unknown Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
We're rooting for her.
Yeah, Nicole
good feeling
Kidman.
About her.
Let me just
keep your eye on
Wikipedia.
Her.
Oh, Jesus. Holy shit. That's so great. You must be so excited about the show. Everybody's talking about how great it is.
Oh, that's so nice. No, I really am. It was also kind of one that, I mean, I was a producer on the Great as well, and I.
Oh, you were?
I was. So that was kind of the first time I actually got to see behind the scenes of, like, you know, pitching a show for the first time. That was the first time I did it on that. And but this, Margot truly feels like from the ground up, because I read the book before it was published, and so I had to talk to Rufy, the who wrote the book, and mm-hmm. she had to give, you know, it was a real process. And then we assembled this like dynamic team with A24 and David and all and the cast. And then we went out and really pitched it hard. And so it just feels like it's definitely this collaboration, but something that I'm very involved in, and I That's love cool. this character. So
well, yeah, I thought you were going to say. I'm sure you're very proud of it. That process of being there right from the get go, mm-hmm. and sort of shepherding it all the way through. Do you feel responsibility? I don't mean that in a negative way, but do you feel like this like real care for it in that way?
Yeah, I think you do feel this care, and you feel a little bit of pressure because you. It's kind of like exposing your heart, and you hope that's with everything. Yeah. I mean, you hope that people like it. Obviously, I mean, a show also takes so much time to film too.
Yeah,
do you like
yeah.
that? Do you like that longer involvement? The fact that you're involved with it during pitching and developing and pre-production and post-production, aside from just the filming part of it, or having gone through that a couple of times now, you're like, yeah, maybe I'll just do like a couple of acting gigs in between, just sort of hit and run, get in, get out. Do you like staying with a project from start to finish and doing the whole thing?
I kind of got a taste for it now. I feel like I like the power. I think there's something in also being a
That's hilarious.
Being like a child actor, I think you also spend a lot of time. Not that, I mean, we're not harping on this, but it is like my origin story. But, you know, being an observer, like you're cast as the observer who watches the adults do the fun things.
Right.
And you're also on set. I think I've gotten to a place now where I feel very like in myself, where I think it also comes from, okay, like respect your elders, and you don't want to be like, I know too much or I know more than you. But there does come a point, and I think now that I can say, well, no, maybe I do, because I've been on set since I was two.
Right. So you've got all this. You've got all this experience. Yes, you know what you're talking about.
Like, you know, how to avert a crisis or how to problem solve and what. Like, I've seen, and I really learned on the job. Like, I didn't go to acting school or anything. So I was learning from these directors, and they all worked in this vastly different way. So I became very malleable. You had to be, you know, and so I get to put that into the producing process now, and I like that.
In an unapologetic way, you have a seat at the table, legitimate seat at the table. So when you chime in, you don't have to say, oh, sorry, excuse me,
exactly.
I've got an idea.
I definitely used to do that, you know. Yeah. I don't so much have to anymore. I really like the post-production. I love editing. Mm-hmm.
Well, then my next favorite question always is, do you see directing in your future as well, since you've got so much set experience?
I know, it's such a cliche. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, I want to be a director.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to.
JV,
I mean,
you're such a cliche.
But in any occupation, you want that promotion. You want to be able to use what you've been learning, and that usually lives in the job that's just above you. You know, you're constantly learning more about the process. And so with directing, it allows you to use everything you've been obviously taking a look at and absorbing and observing.
Yeah, I've dreamed about that for a long time, even since I was young. Like, and I would write a lot. I don't so much do it as much anymore, but it was, you know, my favorite always in school and coming up with stories and things. And so I know that that's in my future, but I don't think it's in my near future.
Well, speaking about your near future, what are you doing when you're not? I mean, you're constantly working.
Yeah, this year and last year was really insane. But I always knew that I'm such a freak. I love the number 5. And so
I do too. That's my favorite number.
Oh, it's my favorite number. Yeah. And I just felt like 2025 was always, I planned, like I did certain things when I was 15, like because the number 5, I planned a lot of stuff.
Why five?
I feel like it's an even number, although it's an odd, because it's in the middle of all the numbers, like 1 to 10.
It's very solid.
Does that make sense?
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
So if you,
the number 5 too, for what it's worth.
I love it.
What do you like, Sean? What do you like?
I like 3.
Yeah, I kind of like 3 too.
That's a cousin.
As well. Yeah. Yeah.
So then, yeah, what Shawnee was,
I don't know if I even answered, like, what the heck did I just say?
He was talking
about. You asked me a question, I'm like, yes, I really like the number five.
Number five.
Weirdo.
Well, he was saying, like.
And my sister and our friend Chloe, they are going to listen to this. That's why I'm like, my butt cheeks are like clenched. I'm like,
no.
Because they love this show so much.
Well, we love you guys.
And I talked to Dakota right before, and she's like, you're about to do Smart Listen. But she actually, I was like, I'm nervous. She's like, no, it's just a conversation. Like,
yeah, we're just hanging out. We're all just hanging out.
Well, hello to them both.
Yeah.
But Sean was saying, like, about the future, like, you're working so much. What do you do? Have you carved out some, like, non-work time in your future?
Yeah.
You know, I guess I got to get better at doing that. But also, I don't think I'm too. I'm just so. I want to do it all.
What do you and Gus? What do you and Gus like to do? What's your favorite thing to do, for Tracy? That's your boyfriend.
Yes, that's my boyfriend for Tracy. We love going on trips. He has actually been a really nice. Gosh, he is such. Well, we're very similar in a lot of ways because he's also extremely extroverted, but he's extremely grounded and is able to really ground me and also. He kind of carves out the time for me, and I'm like, I don't even realize it, but like, okay, we're gonna
love that.
Do this weekend away, or we're gonna drive to Santa Barbara, we're gonna set up this trip, and it's just not, I'm not great at organizing, I don't, and I'm good at organizing in my, like with scheduling with work, like that, I'm very on it, and that's kind of all I think about, and so then he kind of turns me away to also think
great
about
combo.
Those other things. It's a really, it's a spectacular
anchor. We
combo.
Call them anchors. Scotty's my anchor.
We're pretty,
everybody needs an anchor.
Yeah, we really are a good.
I mean, fucking ahead, no Will. Comment.
Couple.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about? It's good. Scotty's my anchor. Everybody needs
like
an
that,
anchor.
I like
I'm trying.
That.
I'm trying to do that. But also, we're extremely ambitious, like both of us. And so I think it's also. I'm like, yeah, you go do your thing, and I go do mine. It's like, you don't you don't have to come follow me to set.
Right.
Like, come and visit, but also, you know, I don't need you just, like, sitting in the trailer. It's like, I know that's boring, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that.
He's a nice, I've met your Gus a few times over the years. He's a real nice, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So what do you do like on a day like today?
Right.
And amidst all this stuff you're doing, you're constantly doing press and screenings and meet and greets and getting ready to work and prepping and blah, blah, blah. What do you do today? What do you do today if you have the afternoon? Like, what are you going to do? What makes you happy to carve out for you?
Gosh, well, you say it ebbs and flows. Like, I get into modes of, like, okay, now I'm like, I love working out or I love doing this. So I'm going to go to Pilates and do this. And it's like all or nothing for me. So I'm not in that phase right now at all.
What about like arts and crafts stuff?
I have a cooking thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, I love painting and drawing and like that is in me.
Yeah.
But it's not. I gotta do it more. Like I think about it. I'm like, you know what? If I had like a painting room or something, I would be so happy.
Absolutely.
But it also feels too hard. I'm like
Absolutely.
Of setting it up.
You know,
like,
you know my dream is, my dream is to have somebody come over. By the way, I did this once. I had somebody come over, this is years and years and years ago, with some friends. We got totally stoned. We all smoked pot. And then some woman came over with 7 sewing machines and we all made pillows. Like stoned out of our mind, and we just made pillows. And like, that's what we need to do, right? We need to have somebody come over to teach us, like, hey, I want to paint. Can you just set some stuff up for me and I'll paint? And then we're done. And then we did it.
See, if someone else sets it up for me, I sound terrible. Like, if it's set up for me, it's like, okay, I've got to go to this class, then I will do it.
Because
I feel also, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to stand up that teacher.
That's right.
You know?
That's how I feel.
So I'm like, there's an obligation.
Yeah.
But if it's just me alone, then I sit on my computer and I watch Traitors.
Same.
There
obsessed.
You go.
Seen every episode of every iteration.
Me too. I'm watching. So, obviously, we're watching
there's
the one now.
There's a British or domestic one, right?
There's a lot. There's a New Zealand or Australian or whatever.
Was the English one the first one?
Yeah, the English one was the first one.
This is like a Survivor type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like Mafia.
Remember we used to play that, JB?
Sure. Yeah. No, you're a great leader.
Yeah.
I always had to do it.
Any of y'all watch it? I mean, I want Rob to win.
I want Rob to win too because he's so clever.
I know. And I always want the Traitors to win.
Yeah, always. Yeah,
I'm always like that. I also just started the Celebrity UK, which I know is I'm a little late to.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
But do you know who won that? Because I had to spoil it. Okay, I won't. Do you have a guess? Do you have a guess?
See, I feel like everyone is on to them really quickly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I just can't see that. I mean, Kat, I like Kat a lot.
Yeah, Kat's great.
So she possibly, I feel like, and Alan, I love Jonathan. Yeah. I love them, but I just don't, they're all seem to be on them unless they get particular people out. I think Kat and Alan could go.
It's a very satisfying ending.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah, my mom watches it too, and she was like, you're going to love this. She's like, it's a great thing. Yeah, but I love reality TV. So I just spin. I'm like, okay, I sit. I also have TVs in my home. Yeah. I don't turn them on. I only watch on my computer.
Huh. Okay, so they're just decoration or?
Yeah. They don't need to be here. It's so weird. And I have a giant computer that is heavy and old, and I just can't get rid of it. But the screen is so big. I'm on it right now. And like the tech check this morning, I was like, guys, I don't know if any of these wires you sent
are going to fit into this
archaic thing.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
While we're paused here, Will, did you want to double back on Sean's pillow party at all?
Oh, right.
I did. I just, the visual alone.
Seven sewing machines and a bomb.
You, a bunch of stoned middle-aged entertainment types in a beautiful Hollywood mansion. It's everything I ever always thought.
It was so fun. You guys, we should do it. I'm not even kidding. It's really fun.
Yeah,
okay.
Make sure to, when super I'm busy. Good, I'm
the
12th of never.
The three of you. Yeah.
Come on, we'll make pillows. It's really
we'll do
fun.
It. We'll do it. Al, listen, you are such a
you
delight.
You are a delight.
Honestly, a delight, Al.
You are
so
amazing.
Happy to have you. You're such an impressive actor, and you've done so many amazing things.
Yes.
So happy for your new show. Margo's got money troubles.
Yes, I'll say.
Money.
Yeah. Come on.
Troubles.
Money.
Troubles.
Pause. Troubles.
Troubles.
Listen, we're just, it's just such a great, you just bring such positivity and you're amazing and we're just
I could talk
fans.
To you all day long.
All day.
Thank you, God. I feel the same. And my favorite part, I just got to say this because the best part on the doc is when you're worried that ordering the surf and turf is too extravagant. Is unbelievable.
Well, but I didn't.
And Jason going, oh, did we go long on that? I mean, that's the best. So when I need a pick-me-up, I watch that on TikTok. And I think a lot of people do. I think it is a thing, but it's freaking
little
hilarious.
Bites.
Yeah. Well, thank you, my dear.
All right, thanks for doing this.
We love
Enjoy
you,
Enjoy the rest
thank
of
you.
Your day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you. Bye, guys. This was so fun.
Bye.
For
bye.
Sure.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Al.
Thank
See you
for
soon.
Having
bye.
Me on. Bye.
You got it. Thanks.
Pillow party.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
What should we do tonight? You know, we got all this big bag of weed, and what do you think? Should we just go crazy and call that gal with the sewing machines?
Yeah.
That sounds sweet, bro. Do you remember her number? Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
what should we do
over.
With the sewing machine? Let's make pillows.
We all made pillows.
This is why I never.
Hey, you know what would be really cool? We should go and pitch. This is on the night, right?
Yeah, Sean going.
You know what we should do? We should go pitch Celebrity Sweatshop, right?
We all make pillows. So that was a real delight.
Real delight.
What a wonderful human being.
I'm so impressed. She is a wonderful human being. She's got great energy. She's always just positive and cool.
She was exactly as I had always hoped she would be.
Yeah. And then just does all this incredible work, constantly doing different stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. She's in one of the new what are those? You know the thing that I'm talking about.
Oh, here he comes.
No, I'm not. It's a Hunger Games. She's in the new Hunger Games as well.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
She's on fire.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Oh, she's totally on fire. And I can't wait to see Margo's Got Money Troubles. Sorry.
I know, that book was really good.
I love that you forgot. Oh, I think I read that book.
I know.
What do you read, a book in an hour or something like that?
No,
like,
I read like three or four in my life. That was one of them.
And so even though you forgot. the one of the three.
I know.
Three. Well, I mean, it takes me a month and a half to read a book. I'm not going to forget if I read a book.
It takes me a while.
Yeah.
Will, how long does it take you to read an adult book?
Well, I've been reading a lot lately. Like the last 2 weeks, I'm on my fourth book in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
When are you doing this?
At night, sometimes during the day, if I have time down in the day for an hour or whatever, I'll just.
So, how many pages will you read before you knock off? 60 pages?
Depends on how tired I am. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but like on average.
Sometimes you get in 10, 15 pages and you're just eyes are heavy.
Right. Right. But usually it's about a half hour reading and then you're sleeping.
Mm hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I do a lot of reading during the day too. On my sometimes in the morning I'll wake up if I'm up early.
And you enjoy it. You just enjoy reading.
Yeah,
I like reading about things I like to read about.
I get excited. You know what I mean?
But if you sent me a book about driving.
Sure.
I don't know.
What would that be called?
Motorcycle would be more, but you know what would be a good to read about would be what?
Bicycle riding.
Boy, that was cheap.
Bye. That was good.
Bye.
That was good.
Bye.
Bye.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smart. Less.